the most relevant and stimulating arts programmes on any Dublin radio station. Dublin City FM.
Checking out if you're a fan of those two fine gents playing together. Now, I'm delighted to welcome to the programme photographer Aga Maru. Hello, Aga. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome along. And we're going to talk about photography on the radio, which maybe doesn't sound quite as daft as it does sound, does it? but I first must ask you, I mean, photography and getting into photography, what drew you to photography as a career?
I suppose I've always been interested in photography. It's always been my hobby, and then it became my passion. But like, I think everybody that, you know, wants to do something creative, I've been told, no, that's not the way to go. You know, you need to get your job first, you need to get your education, and then you can continue keeping photography as a hobby and doing it in your spare time. But that just wasn't enough for me, so I decided kind of to battle against that and just try to make a living from it and try to make it my full-time profession.
Okay, and you're originally from Poland, from Gdansk in Poland, which is in the north of the country on the coast.
Yes.
In the Baltic.
Exactly.
I'm right, yes. Thanks. I was awake during geography class. tell me about growing up there and getting into photography there. And you did actually study photography there, I believe.
I studied photography over in Warsaw.
Warsaw,
there's not really a lot of options in Gdańsk for studying photography. And it was also nice to get away from Gdańsk and just make my own way somewhere else and study photography over there, kind of on my own account.
And how vibrant is photography in Poland? I mean, I suppose if we think back to the years of occupation, and I suppose you think about how people were under surveillance for so much of that time. Does photography in Poland have any kind of connotations with that kind of recent past?
Yes, it does. For example, Polish people are very difficult to photograph. I was always taught that if I learn to photograph people over in Poland, everywhere else it's going to be easy because they just hate being in the photos.
Okay, and well, that brings us quite nicely on to talk about your work, and in particular this new series, Sunday Utopia, which will be showing quite soon in the Dublin Black Pits area of Dublin.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, tell me about this new set then of photographs, Sunday Utopia. What were you setting out to do with this group of photographs? I mean, I have some of them here in front of me, and I suppose the first thing that occurs to me is I don't see any people.
Yes, I suppose I like to run away from people a little bit now and again, and I do photograph people a lot. In my everyday life, so that was just a kind of escape for me to do something like that. And I suppose it's a little series about Dublin on Sundays, and there is not a lot of people on the street on Sundays, so it wasn't my conscious decision to just pick the places that there were no people. I just started photographing and nobody was there.
And describe the sort of the process to me of photographing various elements of streets and paraphernalia that you come across. I mean, are you very much on the move with the camera, or are you thinking about a shot quite a long period ahead of when you do eventually take it?
Not really. I just think of an idea in general, and it's not even very specific at the beginning of the creative process. It starts with a kind of feeling that I have inside. And first it's like a little tingling, and then when it becomes too unbearable, I have to get up and take my camera and go and photograph. But most of the time, I don't even realize what I'm taking photo of. I just, when I see the photo afterwards, I think, oh, okay, this is why I took it. But the whole process is very intuitional.
And are you taking a lot of photographs and then working it down to how many are in the show?
In this show, there's going to be 17 photos, mm-hmm. and I have taken, because it was I was working on the project over a year, and I've taken maybe 60 photos. So, and they were all quite quite different. So it's I don't take a lot of photos, and I don't really take a lot of photos of one scene. It's usually just I see something, I take a photo of it, and then I mm-hmm. Move along.
Describe the sort of equipment that you're using. Are you working digitally, or are you working with the film camera and then processing in a darkroom situation after?
Well, for my personal work, I find that I work much better with a film camera. So I use a camera that is called a Mamiya 7. So it's a medium format film camera. And then because I shoot in color a lot, and color is quite difficult to develop yourself, so I just send them off to the lab for scanning and then print them on the inkjet printer.
Mm-hmm. If we return to the series and talk about its geographic location, can you describe to people where this area is and why you find it so attractive for your photographs?
So the area could be described as just Dublin 8 in general. I have moved there about 5 years ago, and I just been immediately intrigued by the area. It just felt right. It was a little bit odd. Like there was a nice mixture of this, those quite rough areas and some new places popping up, and artist studios and stuff like that. And recently there's also like many new really nice cafes and places to go out.
It's true to say you're not afraid to show the less attractive side, perhaps, of cafe culture. The flip side of the very expensive handcrafted beverage. We have this scene here where you have. It's quite difficult to see it on a small screen, but when in the exhibition, I think it will become very clear to people. But what I see is a lot of rubbish just strewn on a grassy area in front of a junction. But there's something at play here.
Yes, the rubbish are flying in the air because there's this particular building that was built. So on the windy day, all the rubbish gets blown into the corner. But I suppose for me, this is something particular about Sunday, because a Sunday is the day that kind of those rubbish just are allowed to be there, and nobody's going to clean them until the next day. So it's not only like I didn't want to maybe focus on the state of the area, but also on the kind of just sedated atmosphere of Sunday.
And you've one picture here that you highlighted as your favorite in the series, which is a corner of a building on the end of a street, and looking at that now, I'd find it hard to see that would be the best picture. Of course, best is, it's all very relative. But why do you like this particular picture? Maybe you could describe it better to people.
I like it because I think the picture is very calm, and I find it quite relaxing to look at the picture. And also, I like the idea of the corner because, it's not. Like you see the corner, but you don't see what's on the left side and what's on the right side. And it kind of represents that, like, there's nothing really happening there at the moment, but you don't know what's happening around the corner.
You don't know what's around the corner, exactly. And there's a very very nice piece of rubbish, a plastic bag, I think, left. I was going to say artfully, but I'm sure it's not. You're finding these things as you find them.
Yes.
Photographing them, right?
Well, again, like, I found the corner and I liked the corner, and the rubbish was there, so I didn't remove it, but I didn't put it in either.
We've no people in your photographs, but we do have two tastefully placed pigeons in one of your shots. How did you find working with such creatures?
Yeah, I love birds in my photos. There's the pigeons in one, there's the seagulls in another shot. It's like, I think if on a weekday when the cars go by, you know, they don't really get to roam a lot because they're scared away all the time, and on Sunday they just rule the street.
And I was intrigued that a previous set of photographs you did based on a Greek island out of season. So this is quite a kind of a theme I think you have here of photographing areas devoid of humans at a certain time of the day, as in this Dublin, this Sunday Utopia series, or the Greek series, a certain time of year where Greek Island is very much left to its own devices?
Yes, I think there is, despite the fact that when I started working on the Dublin images, I thought that they're going to be very different from the Greek ones. I soon realized that there is a lot of things that that makes them look very alike. And I suppose I like the empty areas because I sometimes just feel a need to run away from the business of everyday life. But also I find I love looking at the places like that and just thinking in my head, what are the possibilities? What are the opportunities that those places could be turned into?
Okay. Now it's opening. The exhibition is running from the 31st of July to August the 4th. Tell me about the interesting building that you have co-opted here for the exhibition.
So the building is an old mill that has been bought by Dublin Whiskey Company that they're going to be setting their distillery in. And in the meantime, while it's still kind of empty, I got to transform it into some sort of art gallery. Which is very exciting. I love working with the challenging spaces like that and just different spaces than just galleries and just making something completely new and that has a lot of character.
Great. And if people want to find out more about your work, the website is a good place to go.
Yes, absolutely. It's www.agamaroofphotography.com, and you can also follow me on Facebook or Twitter.
Okay, Aga, well, the very best of luck with the exhibition. Hopefully we can maybe put a photo or two up on the programme blog to give people a taster of what they can expect.
Absolutely, that'd be lovely.
And people are welcome to come to the opening.
Absolutely.
Everybody's welcome. I can't guarantee whiskey, though. I've been informed here that it's not quite ready yet. It's going to be a couple of years before we have Dublin whiskey.
No whiskey, but we're going to have wine and beer and some food as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much indeed, Aga, for coming into the programme and talking to us today. And we're going to move on with a little bit more music from the Tunes, Louis Stewart and Jim Doherty album. And this is the Rodgers and Hart number, My Heart Stood Still. That's My Heart Stood Still from Rodgers and Hart with Louis Stewart and Jim Doherty from their album Tunes. And now it's over to Adrian.
Thanks, Des. Yesterday I sat down with Anya Mackin, artist, curator and founder of Art Clash, which is an ongoing series of creative workshops that fuses night classes with nightlife. We discussed her motivations behind setting it up, the alternative workshops she facilitates and her future plans for Art Clash. We began the interview with Anya discussing how Art Clash originated.
Well, I suppose it's kind of a recessionary-based project, essentially, because for a long time I funded my own professional art career through doing temp work. And due to the recession, that really dried up. So I was pretty idle. And I think I just tried to kind of think of something that would be moderately entrepreneurial, but also consume my hours. So I happened to kind of be in a peer group and social circle of a lot of professional artists. So I decided to come up with this idea of inviting them each to do workshops. And my approach was quite kind of casual and social in order to, I suppose, open it out to people that may not necessarily be familiar with the art world.
Mm-hmm. And the social aspect is important in the classes.
Yeah.
And how has this influenced the actual art making?
Well, I suppose there's a casual quality to it that I really enjoy. And the fact that it is based in nightlife circumstances and we have DJs, mm-hmm. and it all lends itself entirely to not be attached to the sense of intimidation that some people might get from being involved in the art world. So there's an opportunity for them to experience creativity without having this self-consciousness of being good at it or not. It's more about the enjoyment of the actual experience of making something.
Sure. And can you give me some examples of the type of classes that you've already done?
Well, there's been a plethora. essentially, like, we've done special effects makeup. We've done graffiti. We've done printmaking, from screen printing to mm-hmm. dry point. We've done watercolor painting with burlesque models. So it's watercolor life painting. Mm-hmm. And there's photography workshops and basically kind of anything you can think of. We've done puppet making and we did a special Christmas poncho class as well, where everyone got to make something to wake up in on Christmas morning.
And you say that most of the art class tutors have little or no teaching experience, and how has that affected the classes?
Well, I suppose it's as much part of the essence of art class for me, because it's not a formal class and it's never going to be. So I think predominantly the people that I invite mm-hmm. to lead the sessions are not familiar with teaching. So they would be very successful professional artists, but they wouldn't necessarily ever give workshops. So it's kind of an opportunity to experience the method of someone that you might admire, mm-hmm. Which is a very unusual experience. And it also means that it's a lot more casual, yeah. you know, and because I know, like, so many of my friends, when I started up Art Clash, so many of my friends, they would have been intrigued by creativity and mm-hmm. they kind of confessed to me that they would really love to make something, but they were always too afraid, or they'd be really intrigued by particular people's work, you know, but it never really, they never felt comfortable to be able to try it. So I suppose I'm trying to kind of facilitate that.
Sure. And you're saying, you know, that it's not formal, and that's kind of highlighted in the venues that the classes are held in. And mm-hmm. You were saying that a few of them have been held in bars. And has it been difficult in that kind of a setting to make sure the classes remain classes and you're not...
Yeah, well, they're usually in separate rooms within the pub locations. Like, we've moved them quite frequently. Like, we have a new base in the Twisted Pepper, but they're very open to adapting to particular rooms that would be suitable to particular classes. But it's never really kind of a silent formal class, you know. It is about having a few beers, listening to good music and trying something out. So it's never really that formal, know. And I think that's something that's very important. Like, we had class in Shock Cinema with Peter Dunn, who created Morb, and we had that in a disused convent in Harold's Cross. It was very unusual, but I think we try and adapt each class and where it's located to be appropriate for the particular workshop.
And have you any upcoming events?
Yeah, well, we're taking part in a festival called the Liffey Legover, which is a festival happening between the Twisted Pepper, the Grand Social, and the Workman's Club. And we'll be doing a workshop there with photographer Aoife Giles, and she'll be doing a workshop in light painting, which is this amazing method of creating images with light that can be photographed. So it's going to be very exciting.
And have you ever been a tutor yourself?
Yeah, no, I did the watercolour life painting class with the burlesque performers. So,
And that has been influenced by your practice?
Yeah, no, like, I have, I've just actually released a new website if people are interested in looking at my work. It's onyamackin.com. Plug.
And what date is the next upcoming event?
It's the 9th of August.
And how can people register for the event?
If they go to artclash.net, they can sign up to a newsletter, and you can also buy tickets online there.
Okay, well, good luck with the event on the 9th of August, and thanks very much for joining me.
No problem at all. Thank you.
And that just about brings us to the end of Artbeat for tonight. Thanks to my previous guest there, I was talking to a little bit earlier on. That's Aga Maru, the photographer. Aga, AGAMARU, photography.com for more details on her Sunday Utopia show coming up from the 31st of July to August the 4th. And thanks very much to Adrian there and Adrian's guest, was Áine Macken, the founder of the Art Clash night classes. We'll put full details of all these events up on the Artbeat blog very shortly. Do stay tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, where we're delighted to present Michael Jonathan here in studio with Aisling on the sessions here just ahead of his very big night tomorrow in the Convention Centre with the Woodsongs Old Time Radio Hour live event. Something well worth catching if you can attend, do attend, but we'll also be broadcasting that on air. And yeah, that's it from us, and I'll talk to you again next week. When
Uncle William passed, Michael Jonathan and his Woodsongs All Time Music Hour program is coming to Dublin this coming Thursday, July 18th. And 103.2 Dublin City FM will be broadcasting live coverage of the whole event from the Convention Centre from 7:30 to 11 p.m. Hear the music of Paul Brady, Mary Black, Wee Banjo 3, Neil Toner, Land's End Bluegrass Band, and many more. Only here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. This coming Thursday, July 18th from 7:30 to 11 p.m. $1 bill.